and you're listening to Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station. And that's Mr. Mark Winkler. We're going to bring him on. I want to start his brand new release, though, with Cheryl Benteen, which is so beautiful. And, you know, Mark is such a great gentleman. I had a chance to meet him this past summer at the Jazz Week Summit. And he's a Platinum Award-winning singer and lyricist. Over 250 songs recorded, or he has sung them himself. And he's, Diane Reeve has sung his songs, Jane Monheit, Liza Minnelli, Bob DeRoe, Steve Tyrell, Dee Dee Bridgewater, Claire Martin out of England. And he sings in the tradition of Bobby Troup and Hoagie Carmichael and Matt Dennis. And he also teaches, and this guy, I wonder if he ever goes to sleep. He's in his 11th year teaching lyric writing and crafting and great lyrics at a Songrise Workshop extension at the Life School Songwriting Workshop. Without any further ado, I'd like to bring him on. How are you doing?
Good, Jay. How are you?
It's a pleasure to bring you on the air with all these great talents that you can tell us about and how you're being inspired daily. Because if you're teaching, you're being inspired daily, coming up with new stuff. But it's a pleasure. It was a pleasure meeting you at the Jazz Week Summit. You're such a delightful personality, and your music really expresses what's in your heart. And I don't know how long you've been singing, but you've been singing quite a long time, and I want you to start somewhere.
Yeah, well, I've been singing all my life. You know, maybe I'll start with my mom. My mom was a big band singer in the 30s, I think, and 40s. Then she gave it up to have kids. And so I always grew up singing around the house. So my mom played pretty good piano. And my whole family, my grandmother sang, my brother sang. He actually sang more than me. I couldn't get a song in, you know, until I was about 13. So I started doing that. Then I had my first song recorded by Liza Minnelli. I started, you know, at the top in 1977. And then I've had about 250 cuts since then. So I've been doing this a long time, Jay.
You've been doing it a long time. You left an indelible mark on it, because when I first heard you, I was just taken aback. And having a chance to meet you and talk to you made it even better, because you really, I can see why you made such an impression on the industry. This new release, it makes a difference, because you have a great spirit and a lot of charisma. But tell us more about your career, because you were kind of silent for a while, but your voice was being heard.
What do you mean silent for a while? I don't think I've been silent since I was about 5.
You made a lot of noise.
But
I figured, you know, that'd bring you out.
Yeah, well, you know, the last couple of years I've done a CD a year.
Right.
And maybe there was, in there, there was maybe a 5-year period where I didn't do a CD. But, you know, this is my, Eastern Standard Time is my 16th CD, either Mark Winkler or Mark Winkler with Cheryl Benteen. And so I've been recording a lot of CDs, and I'm really proud of this new one. It's been getting a great reaction on radio, and people really seem to like it. And, you know, so what are you going to play? What are you going to play from?
I like a couple of songs in here. You know, The Gentleman is a Dope. You Smell So Good. Walk on the Wild Side.
That's one
of my favorite tunes, Walk on the Wild Side. Jimmy Smith did an instrumental version of that. And that
I have to tell you this story. Cheryl came up with the idea for Walk on the Wild Side. And I thought, and you think, she wasn't talking about the Jimmy Smith version, because that was written by Elmer Bernstein.
Right.
And I thought that was going to be great. I thought I was going to write lyrics to it. So this one we did is by Lou Reed. Jimmy Smith never did this one.
Oh, he never did this one. Okay.
No, it was the Elmer Bernstein, which I loved. I love that Jimmy Smith version. But Cheryl and I, you know, once she explained her idea to me, I went, okay, I think it can work. And we gave it to this wonderful guy out of New York City named Eli Brueggemann, and he came up with the arrangement, the wild arrangement. And That's how that happened.
Mm.
Yeah. And so the other funny little thing is the day that we put the tracks down for Wild Walk on the Wild Side, Cheryl couldn't be at the studio. So I put down her part and my part just for the musician. And one of the parts that I put down for her, the musician said to me, hey, you sound pretty good singing that falsetto. So I kept it in.
So you kept it in.
Yeah. So she took one of my verses and I took one of her verses. So.
You know, it's amazing you as a singer, songwriter, and as a lyricist, how well you connect with the duets.
Well, you know, I think one of the greatest bits of good luck I've had is meeting Cheryl Benteen. We just click. You know, we click from the minute we met each other. We had lunch and we got along great. And there's something that's just magical when the two of us sing together. It's really a wonderful thing. I'm really happy to be singing.
You had amazing musicians on there. Bob Shepard on sax.
Yeah.
Guitar.
I just saw him last night. He married a beautiful woman named Maria last year, and I've never seen him so happy. But he's been on my last six albums.
Mmm.
I really like Bob Shepard.
How about Grant Gessman? He was on guitar.
Well, I've known Grant Gessman. I had a mullet. You know, in the '80s, he was playing on my Ebony Rain album and my Hottest Night of the Year album. And he's been playing on a lot of my early albums.
Dave Tull on drums.
Well, Dave Tull is actually a good friend of Cheryl, and he's also a wonderful singer, songwriter. So Dave Tull and I have a great time coming up with lyrics when we're. When we're performing live, we're always coming up with alternative lyrics to
alternative lyrics. I like that.
I'm always coming up with some funny
alternative lyrics. Gabe Davis is on bass.
Yeah, Gabe Davis is a young cat who's been playing with me for about 3 years. He's an LA guy. He actually comes from the Bay Area, and now this is the first album I've used him on as a bass player, and he's just great. Great attitude.
You pick great artists. Kevin Winward on percussion.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kevin Winard.
Winard.
But here's my deal with picking musicians, because I'm old enough to know that it just doesn't cut it if they're wonderful musicians. If they're not great guys, I won't work with them. So they have to be great musicians and great guys, have a wonderful personality, have a can-do spirit. Because I've had sessions where I've had, you know, the greatest musicians in the world, and they've driven me crazy, you know, so I don't do that anymore. I only have guys I love.
You even brought in a cello with Stephanie Fife?
Yeah. That was beautiful. I've never had a cello on one of my songs. That was on the Ballad of the Sad Young Man.
Oh, man, yeah, the Lies of Handsome Men.
Yeah, and we kept saying, oh, it needs a cello, and at first Gabe tried to do an arco-based part that sounded like a cello. And Gabe is a wonderful arco player, but it just wasn't working, you know. So we brought in Stephanie, and it was really one of the magical moments of making the record. She just was wonderful.
You know, all your music is very magical. You have such a magical touch. The way
you
tell a story.
It's not so magical, Jay.
No, I don't. But you tell it.
Don't release the non-magical.
Nobody does. Or they're
Nobody
not supposed
does.
To.
I'll tell you. You know, I feel bad when these artists die, you know, like Michael Jackson and Prince, and then they start releasing the stuff that they didn't really want released. Because I think, I can't speak about Prince because, you know, they haven't released a lot of his stuff. But with Michael Jackson, you know, it wasn't the best stuff. I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, so I bought every post, death album. And, the stuff that was released was the stuff he wanted released. You know, in the same way with me, it's like, if it's not released, because I didn't think it was good enough.
Mm. But, you know, the thing about it is that you're working consistently, but you're also teaching. How do you bring what you do in reality and bring it to your students? How do you cross that bridge?
Yeah. Well, actually, teaching feeds me. You know, there's nothing I find more satisfying than teaching. teaching talented younger people the rules of writing a good song. You know, I feel it's my sort of duty. I learned it when I was a young man in my 20s. I went to songwriting school, and I learned from a guy named Al Kasha, who wrote the song The Morning After from The Poseidon Adventure. And I wasn't a very good songwriter before I went to him. He taught me all the technique. So when I teach my kids, I impart that, you know, and it's needed. I mean, there's a lot of bad songs being written. So when I find kids and they actually get better under my tutelage, I'm very pleased. Nothing pleases me more than when one of my students gets better.
Well, you know, your ability to transfer that is through the way you sing. And mm-hmm. the one thing I want to know that yeah. has always fascinated me about your singing is you have a certain swing where you're telling a story where the audience not only gets involved, but they experience it with you. Where did you learn that technique from?
I think you're born with it. I think definitely I've gotten better over the years in terms of my time, because I think jazz singing is playing with time. You know, people ask me what makes a singer a jazz singer, and I don't think it's necessarily scatting, because Billie Holiday didn't scat, and Lorraine Feather doesn't scat. She's my friend, my buddy, and I don't scat. But all jazz singers play with time. They know, you know, where to put the notes. And that's what I love to do. I listen to the drums, I listen to the bass, I always turn it up when I'm doing a rhythm number in my headphones, and I play with the time, even when I'm singing a ballad. So to me, if it ain't got that swing, it don't mean a thing.
It don't mean a thing. Your phrasing is superb, though. And on this particular release, you really caught my attention with The Gentleman is a Dope.
Yeah.
What inspired you for that particular track?
Well, that's Cheryl. You know, Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
That was Cheryl came up with that one. And Cheryl actually had been listening to that song, different versions of it on the internet. Cheryl's just a very smart lady, and she's always coming up with good song choices, because I knew that song sort of, but I wasn't that familiar with it.
Devil May Care.
Well, Devil May Care, Bob Duro.
Right.
I met him at a lot of these jazz conventions. It used to be IAJE, now it's Jazz Congress. Every January in New York City, when it's freezing, they have...
I know, I'm there.
Oh, good, I'll see you in January. Uh-huh. And I met Bob Duro about, I don't know, 15 years ago at one of these things, and he was the nicest guy I've met in the business. Sincerely, like just an old hippie. But a really nice old hippie, and I loved his songwriting. He wrote all of his songs, and I felt a kinship with him, and he was very, very nice to me. And so when he passed away last year, I wanted to put one of his songs on the record. And, you know, it's perfect, because he is actually fits the concept of Eastern Standard Time, because he was one of the writers you would hear if you went into a club in New York City in 1959. I mean, hear a song by Bob Duro, or you hear a song by Blossom Dearie, or by Jackie and Roy. So he was one of the main guys, so I wanted to honor him. And, you know, it turned out great. I mean, it's one of my favorite songs on the record, Devil May Care. It really turned out great.
Rhode Island is famous for you.
Okay, well, you know, I'm a lyricist, so Rhode Island is Famous for You is called a laundry list song. And a laundry list song is a list of things ending in the title. You know, there's millions of laundry list songs, and I write a bunch of them. Like Jazz on the record is a laundry list song.
Right.
So to me, it's one of the most clever laundry list songs. You know, it's a list of things, food and dates, ending in the title. So I love that song. Blossom Dearie did it, and John Pizzarelli did it, and I wanted to put my own little thing on it. And Rich Eames, who was the arranger for all the songs on the record, except two, I think, he did a great arrangement of it. Just hit it out of the park, I think. I love the arrangement of it.
You're a true historian. When can we sign up for your class?
Well, I'm starting. If you're in L.A., you
know, if I'm in L.A.,
hey, bring me to your neck of the woods, and I'll teach a songwriting class.
You know, that's it's very interesting. Yeah. Continue.
Yeah, I'm teaching October 22nd in Burbank at the Songwriter School of Los Angeles. I'm in probably my fifth year there, and I'm in my 14th year at UCLA. So I've been teaching for a while.
Do you get any sleep?
I'm doing a little too much, Jay. my friends who are listening are laughing right now because I'm pretty exhausted. I'm doing a lot. I'm producing, finishing up a new record with Lauren White, who I
produced
a couple of years ago. We're doing a really good record. I just finished an Ellington tribute album with this wonderful singer named Tom Culver. And you know what I discovered doing all these Ellington songs is how difficult they are to sing.
Mm.
You know, I always thought Burt Bacharach was one of the more difficult writers. But Ellington fools you because he'll do a line in like a blues song, like Nothing But the Blues, and you'll think it goes one way, but it actually the notes are slightly different. They're actually
you know what his secret weapon was, right? Billy Strayhorn.
Oh yeah, Billy Strayhorn. Well, we're doing Something to Live For on that.
Oh yes. Oh, I can't.
No, Billy Strayhorn said.
I love Billy Strayhorn. He's you know, you have such an amazing career. How often are you on the East Coast? You just left, I know.
Yeah, not often enough. I just did a gig at Birdland and had a great old time. And hopefully I'm coming back in January, and hopefully I'll do a show by myself. But I want to come back more to the East Coast. I actually want to do more touring because I find it fun, actually.
Yeah, you have a great, I didn't get a chance, haven't seen you live. I've seen some video, but I really want to see you live because I think you bring a lot more to the table as a great artist that you are, which people need to experience. You're an experience.
Yes, I am.
And you're a comedian.
Yes, I am. My father, when he turned 70, suddenly became a comedian. I'm following in his steps, Jay. You know, I'm turning into a comedian, I think. But I think you get older and you either laugh at life or you, shrivel into a ball and die. I don't know.
No, I'd rather laugh, though.
I'd rather laugh
it away. You know, that's more important than anything else. But, you know, most of all, Cafe Pacific Records put this out. Is this your own label?
Yes, it is my own label.
Oh,
and
man.
I also put out other singers. I have a lot of singers in L.A., that are on my label. I sort of, it's my little home for them, you know.
Wow. Well, we need
to. Yeah, so I have Dolores Cassese, who I love, and I have Joanne Tatham, and I have Lauren White, and I have Jeffrey Gimbel, and I have Gary Brumberg's album. So I love singers. I love singers, and I love the whole thing. I love musicians, especially bass players. I love the bass. I don't know why. I just love bass players. I love singers, and I love songwriters. So.
For those of you who are just tuning in, we're speaking to Mr. Mark Winkler. He just recently released with Shel Benteen, Eastern Standard Time. We're talking about his music, his career, and his future of new releases. He's always putting out, and he teaches as well. He's a Platinum Award winner, and for those of you who are not hip, he's written some songs for Dee Dee Bridgewater and Diane Reeves and Steve Tyrell, some of your favorite artists. And you've also written a song, Claire Martin in London, right?
Oh, yeah. Claire has recorded four of my songs, we've done two duets together, including the one you played earlier, Stolen Moments.
Right.
Which was such a thrill for me to do with her because... she was good friends with Mark Murphy.
Oh.
So Stolen Moments was a tribute to Mark, and she would tell me, talk about, you know, her friendship with Mark Murphy, and she's an incredible singer and a really nice lady. Once again, she has the two things I look for in working with people. She's amazing, and she's really nice.
No, you definitely have an insight on people, and sitting down talking to you, when we were at Jazz Week. It was more than a pleasure because your personality really extended from your music.
Well, thank you.
And I
try to be nice. You know, I have a blog, and I wrote a thing called Be Nice. And I think that it's a quality that I admire in people. Once again, I work with John Clayton, the wonderful bassist.
Yes, I'm a John Clayton fan.
He is incredible, and he is one of the nice, as you've met him, he's one of the nicest guys. He's just so easy to work with and such a gentleman. He's sort of I look up to him, even though he's a year younger than me, I think. He's just a great guy. So I like being nice. You know, it's sometimes in this business where, you know, when you're at a gig and the sound is bad and the drummer is drunk and, you know, it's hard to be nice.
At least you're honest. Honest, yes.
You know, it's hard to be nice, but I really try, you know, and I like people, so it's not that hard.
You know, I just want to thank you, Mark, because I know you have a busy schedule, but after I had sat down and spoke to you, I was enamored by the fact of your personality and that, you know, what I hear in music and the way you are from the heart is a reality. So
I want to thank you
for taking the time out to talk to the WCLK audience. We want to look forward to try to get you here some kind of way. Because people don't realize how well you can sing and how your phrasing is and how you touch the hearts of many people.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about when you said phrasing. I got my phrasing from my mother. Because she would literally be, my mother would cook in the middle of the night because she was a singer. So she only ate in the middle of the night because she said when she was on tour, that's how she ate. And she'd be cooking food, and we'd be going over lyrics to songs. And she always taught me, don't stop in the middle of a phrase. So, you know, she was very big about that. She said, you know, phrasing is like talking. She says, if you want to know how to sing the song, talk the song first. So I owe that to my mother.
Well, we want to thank her and thank you for bringing so much to the table in terms of what you're able to do in terms of lyrically as a writer and as a singer. Do you have any final words for our audience?
Well, I want to thank you, Jay. You know, it's wonderful being appreciated. I know you've liked my stuff and supported me for many, many years. And, you know, being out in the jazz world is not always easy, and it's great to have people like you supporting me. So I want to say thank you.
No, I just want to say thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Winkler.